We're going to begin and see how far we get. We'll probably just, I don't know if we'll make it to verse 17, but that's what we're going to shoot for. And again, Paul is writing this, and he's sharing with the church there at Rome and trying to encourage them. He's never been there. He is going to be there. Of course, we know that. He'll sail there and end up there. But he's just writing to them, trying to encourage them some things. He shared some things in the first three chapters, basically talking about the fact that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, talking about there's none righteous, no, not one. The point is that there's no matter what who you are, if you're a pagan or if you're you think you are a moral man, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, and regardless, we're all lost. There's not a human being that's ever been born on this earth, aside from Christ, who is different from us. He was in the likeness of man, but he was not like we are. His blood was not corrupt as ours is, because we have a earthly father. He did not. So everybody's a sinner. And then Paul explained in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, down to the end of chapter 5, he talked about justification. And justification comes through Christ. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that justifies us before a holy God. And it changes our status from being one that is a sinner lost on our way to hell to a saint who has a home in heaven. We learned that this place is not our home. This is a place we're passing through. One day we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. I don't even understand that. Don't fathom that, what forever means. I know this is not forever. I don't feel like I'm going to be here much longer to call this forever for sure. The older we get, the closer we see that we're going to be with the Lord. So then he went on to chapter 6 through 8, and he's talking about sanctification. Chapter 6 is our union through Christ. He's talking about that union that we have. Chapter 7, he talked about the two natures in the battle. He didn't say that it's okay to sin. He didn't explain it that way. What he was telling us is that when he was in Christ, which he is in Christ now, the things that he would do, or his mind would do, would be the law of God. He wanted to follow God. But whenever he committed sin, that was the flesh that was in him. It's the same battle we all have. We want to follow God, but there are times we find ourselves outside of that in the flesh. And when we do that, that's the time we talk to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the words I said, the tone I used, or whatever it was that happened. And you ask him to forgive you. And you know what he does? Just like that, he forgives you. And I'm so thankful for that. And then, of course, chapter 8, we're going to look at the victory through the Holy Spirit. And that's what this whole chapter is about. It's not comparing those that are Christians who sin and those who don't. That's not what this chapter is about. And it's easy to look at it that way, but we're going to look at it the way it's meant to be looked at tonight. Franklin Roosevelt, years ago, addressed the Congress on the state of the war in Europe on January 6, 1941. He said at the end of that speech, he mentioned some essentials for human freedom. He said, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And you know, we have that right to have freedom of religion in this country. We have the right to worship God. We have the right to meet together. And again, it's because of the foundation, the men and women who started this country, came to this country from religious persecution, escaped Europe, and they came here for that very purpose. And if you read our Constitution, then read the writings of those men who penned and signed that Constitution, you find out, for the most part, they were godly men, wanted to serve God, wanted to follow God. And so here tonight, we're looking at some freedoms, if you want, or if you will, from some things that we have. And we have this in there's four declarations in this chapter we're going to see. And the first one is that we have freedom from judgment. There's freedom from judgment. We won't stand in judgment because, and we'll see that in just a minute, in the first four verses, but there's also freedom from defeat, there's freedom from discouragement, and there's freedom from fear. And those things are listed in this chapter. They're broken up in four ways. Of course, you could alliterate that differently, but that's where we're at tonight. So we're going to look at it. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 8, verse 1. Down through verse 17 tonight. You follow along, and then we'll look at it and see what this Paul is writing to the Romans about. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We can stop there and go, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, right? I hope you feel that way. If you're not saying it, at least you feel that way, because that makes all the difference in the world. And that's what he's sharing now. And this is the basis of the chapter, okay? That there is no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the basis of what he's trying to teach us. The victory we have is in Christ Jesus. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for your love and your guidance and direction in our lives. We pray now that you would help us to have understanding here. And Father, again, to apply this in our lives. This is a book not just to be read. It's a book not just to look at and think, oh, these are good thoughts. It's a book to practice. And we know that's what you've given it for us to do as we have learned Christ, as we have put our faith and trust in him, that we look at the Word of God and use it as a guidebook, a rule book, to help us to live, understanding that it's all about the heart. And we thank you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so freedom from judgment is the first four verses is talking about here. So he goes on, he starts, therefore. And of course, what's the therefore? What is it there? It's always to look back. To look back what he just talked about. The points that he explained about the fact that there was a trouble here. That there was sin that dwelled in him. What that sin was the flesh. The body. The sin that we still have and that we can't escape. When are we going to escape the flesh? The day I see Jesus Christ. It'll be gone. I don't even know what that's going to feel like. Other than I can guarantee you, there'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. You won't carry any hardware with you. It's going to be altogether different. It's going to be an amazing time. So Paul explained that. He explained that in verse 25 at the end of that, when he summed up that chapter. He said, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. He says, I want to live righteously. I want to do what God says. He says, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And what he's saying there is, when I sin, it's the flesh that I have. He doesn't go and say it's okay to sin. He doesn't say that I know I'm going to sin, so I'm just prepared to do it. That's not what he's saying. In fact, when he sins, it grieves him. It hurts him. Why would it do that? Because the spirit that's inside of him. That's at enmity with God. That spirit that we have here, the sin is at enmity with God. And so we see that in this chapter. So he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that word now carries the thought of the present time. The moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment, you were in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if that was a millisecond or a nanosecond. I don't know what it was, but it was fast. And it happened as soon as you accepted Christ. It was like that. And it's that time that we put our faith and trust in Christ and we're started learning how to live for Christ. But he says there's no condemnation. That word condemnation means adverse sentence or punishment. For those that are in Christ, there is no punishment. None whatsoever. No punishment. And of course, this is talking about the standing we have in Christ when we meet Him and face to face. He's going to say, come on in. And hopefully He'll add some words to that. My faithful servant, or my good and faithful servant. But He says there's no condemnation, no punishment to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, this indicates the person in Christ Jesus is someone who has that relationship. It's a relationship of being born again. It's something that has to take place in your life. We've all met people who claim to be Christians. And often they talk a talk, but they are missing some things in their lives. They don't really seem to know Christ or talk about Christ. It's more about themselves and what they're doing in their religious groups or whatever. It doesn't talk a lot about Jesus. And sometimes they scratch their head and go, wonder, does this person really know Jesus? Have they ever met Jesus? Are they just part of that religious group where they've missed the relationship? There are a lot of people out there today that are like that. Why? Because the gospel's been watered down over the years. There's been a lot of preaching. Say this prayer and you'll be saved. I wish that was true because I'd have been saved when I was 17 because I said the prayer. It wasn't about saying a prayer. It was all about what was in here, what I believed. And so here, this is talking about those people that are in Christ Jesus. It's a new life in Christ. Let me give you a statement that Dr. Corallo made. He said about Christ Jesus versus Jesus Christ. He said, the order of the name Christ Jesus emphasizes that He's the Messiah. And of course, he says, if you flip it, Jesus Christ, it would emphasize He is the Savior. Of course, both of those are important. He had to be the Messiah to be the Savior, right? And that's what's so nice about Jesus Christ is that exactly what He did. See, in Adam, we're all condemned. The Bible teaches us in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man's sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible teaches us in Corinthians that in Adam, all die. And that's the whole point, is that we need to understand that. People need to understand that. We need to be solidified in our minds so we not only understand it, but we can share it. Because your neighbors, your coworkers, people that are around, they are in that condition today. One day we're going to leave this earth. And there's going to be a lot of people that are not. Not the way we will. In Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no punishment. We will stand before God as a believer. And we will be declared not guilty. We will be declared righteous. Yes, we're sinners. But we're saved by grace when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. All our sins are forgiven. The past. Aren't you glad that's all in the blood? The past. Boy, if I looked at my life and went back and looked at the past, I would tell you today, there's absolutely no way I can get to heaven. Absolutely no way. No way! But the blood of Jesus Christ has covered those sins. The present, the ones I commit today, He's covered those. And the ones I'm going to do tomorrow, they're covered in the blood. Nothing's going to stop me from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Nothing can stop me or prevent me. Why? Because it's in Christ Jesus. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is not dividing Christians that walk after the flesh and those that walk after the Spirit. It's not a judgment of, okay, here's Christians that walk not are walking after the flesh and here's Christians that walk after the Spirit. Or this person is a little bit more spiritual than this one. That's not what he's saying there. This is assumed. It is understood that those in Christ Jesus will walk after the Spirit. That's assumed. That's what we do. And that's what we do. As Christians, when you've got the Spirit of God living in you, you have a desire to follow Christ. Now again, just like Paul said in chapter 7, when that sin rears its head, that's the flesh. If you don't have a desire to walk with Christ Jesus, you probably don't have the Spirit. That's what it's saying here. It's talking about the lost and the saved. It's talking about those who have Christ are going to walk in the Spirit. Those who do not are going to be lost. It's not comparing Christians who do not walk in the Spirit and Christians who do. He gives us a little bit more in verse 2. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And this law of the Spirit of life, it's the law, it's the new covenant, if you will, that when Christ died on the cross, He gave us that opportunity. There's a new covenant. The old covenant's gone. Now it's not under the law, but it's in Christ Jesus. The difference of this whole thing is that when the Israelites had the law, it was a do religion. Now, it was still should have been done from the heart, but it was do this, do this, do this, do this. And they had lots of laws. Lots of laws. For us, it's all about the heart, learning to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. I could suggest husbands and wives, you don't want to hurt each other. Your love doesn't say, I want to hurt you. I want to do something to you. I want to make, are your kids. You don't want to hurt your children, right? Why? Because you love them. It's the same with Christ. When we love Him, we don't want to hurt Him. How do we hurt Him? Sin in our lives, disobedience, rejecting Him. That's how that is. That's the way it works. It's all about, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind and soul. And it's a growing process. It's a learning process. But He says, it is a law of the Spirit that gives the believer life in Christ Jesus. This is a new law for those in Christ only. It's a new law that a Spirit-filled believer desires to follow from the heart. Receiving Christ is synonymous with the indwelling Spirit. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes us alive. In John 14, 16 through 18, it says, and I will pray to the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus Christ is the Comforter as well. He says, I'm going to give you another one. Who is it? The Holy Spirit. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. He says, but ye know Him. Why? For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus said. Today, a born-again Christian, he has God living inside of him right this moment. And it's 24/7. 7 days a week. So that reminds us that 24/7, 7 days a week, how are we to live? Who are we to live for? It's for Christ. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, my desire is to walk in the Spirit. Do I always do that? To my shame, I have to say no. Many times I don't. But does that say that it's okay? Not at all. In fact, I wrestle with it. If I know I said something, it's like the Spirit says, oh, you got to go fix this now. And it's like, it's a battle. Because my pride says, well, I don't want to do that. And the Spirit of God says, you better do it. And I try to let Him win all the time. All the time. Not almost. All the time. Why? Because that's the only way I can be free and walk in the Spirit. Paul said in that same verse, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's made Paul free. It's made us free. It's made us free from that law of sin and death. Why? Paul is free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. It makes us free. Free to live to Him. free not to chase the world's dreams. Yes, we have the flesh, but the one you feed the most is going to grow the most and control us. The law can't claim you. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the law no more has jurisdiction over you. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. You have a new law. So he's telling us either a person is in Christ and dwelt by the Holy Spirit and set free from the principle of sin that leads to death, or that they are without Christ and subject to the law and condemned to a physical and a spiritual death. One birth leads to two deaths, physical and spiritual, which is separation from God forever and ever and ever. And it ends in the lake of fire. But then he says the law can't condemn those in Christ. Look at verse 3. It says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh." The law can save how many people? Zero. You can take the Ten Commandments and any other laws you want to find in the Old Testament, and you can try to live those. You know, Jesus said, if you look on a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So just even that, if you could take those and say, I've never done that, I never will do that, and you mark it down in your heart and mind, think, I'm going to keep all these. You might think you're able to do it, but when you stand before a holy God without Christ, He's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. He's going to say, I never knew you. Because we cannot keep the law. And as I look at the law, I've broken more of those than I've kept. I won't even ask. I don't have to ask. Who in here has ever coveted? You know, everyone in this room is coveted. I'm sure everybody in this room has told a lie. I'm sure everybody's done a lot of these. And what that means is that the law is not our not going to save us. It can't save us. There's no way it can save us. Of course, the law is powerless, and it has to work through the flesh. There's no victory in the flesh. The old sin nature is where the law functions. And the law itself only points us to Christ. It reveals the sin in us. And when we look at the law, we can see there, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can say, this is what God says is holy. And we can just look at that and say, you know what? I'm not. Without Christ, it is impossible to be. And Paul is just assuring us that that's the fact, that it's not the law that can save us, but it is Jesus Christ. He says, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not in sinful flesh. He was likeness, in the likeness of it. He came in the likeness of a man. He wasn't like all of us. Not at all. You know, I don't even know what Jesus actually looks like when He walked on this earth. I know what He's going to look like when He comes back. It gives us a picture of that in Revelation. We can guess at some things. We know that He was a Jew. We know that. And we can look at their culture and look at those folks and maybe come away with some idea. But to actually see His face and understand what it is, I don't know what that looks like. And yet one day I'm going to see Him face to face. But He's done this for us. Jesus came, suffered to condemn sin, to put it away. And John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. For God sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God didn't condemn us. We condemned ourselves. He's made the way for us not to be condemned. He's given us all kinds of advantages. He's put it out there. And He's merciful. He's long-suffering. And He desires that we would all come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it would make the difference in our lives forever and ever. And that we would be able to spend eternity with the Holy God. And not in hell with the God of this world. I can't even imagine the lake of fire. I think about that a lot now. I see people and I think to myself,
I wonder if that person's just going to burn in the lake of fire. He's going to spend eternity there. I mean, we all have wants and desires, don't we? Things that we want and crave. Can you imagine being a place that you can crave and never get? Ever, ever, ever. I can't imagine. Jesus came to condemn sin, not men. He came to change men's lives. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but not in sinful flesh. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is different. And he came to make a difference. He came to change us, to bring us to a better place, a place that we'll spend eternity. Everybody in this room is going to spend eternity somewhere. And there's only two choices. That word condemned, it means to judge against or sentence. So he condemned or he judged sin. The law cannot condemn sin. It only reveals it. Once in Christ, we cannot be tried for the same crime. Once we were declared a sinner doomed for hell, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, now you're declared to be a saint headed for heaven. And it cannot change. The crime we're judged for is our sin. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He came to take away the sin of the world. And that's the only judgment that will be made. And when you accept Christ, He's going to look at you and say, you're holy, you're saint, you're one of mine. That's what Paul's going to allude to as we get through this. So God's purpose for sending His Son is to condemn sin in the flesh. It's to seek and to save that which is lost. In verse 4 he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Wow, that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us. How can that be? That word righteousness is defined as an equitable deed. It's defined a statute or a decision. It's translated as judgment. It's translated as justification. It's translated as ordinance or righteousness. So the judgment of the law, it says here basically, might be fulfilled in us who believe the gospel. In other words, the law requires perfection. The law requires that we are perfect to be able to get and be with God. But the fact is, we aren't perfect and can't be perfect. But because of Jesus Christ, He made us perfect. The day we accepted Him, perfection. Not that we're running around with halos and we're perfect on this earth still, but as it requires and is positionally, we'll stand before God and we'll be holy. We'll be saintly. We'll be without sin. It's because God will look down and through the blood of Jesus Christ, He's going to see His children. Today God looks down and those that don't know Christ, He sees sinners. And He's telling believers like me, go get them! Go bring them in! Why? So they won't have to stand before a holy God and face Him unperfect in sin. We have a new nature. And you know that new nature will never sin. Let me say that again. The new nature will never sin. Do you think God can sin? Yes or no? Of course not. Is the Holy Spirit God? Absolutely. Born again, do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. The new nature will never sin, but the flesh will. That's the problem. That new nature will never do wrong, will never disobey God. It can't. It's the old nature that causes us the problems. In Romans chapter 7, just look over a page probably. It says in verse 17, just remind us, is now then, it is no more that I do it, talking about sin, sin that dwelleth in me. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to serve God. I want to follow God. And I plan to follow God. I get up every day and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to follow you. But then he says, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not, is because it comes out. Our old nature comes out. It's natural, isn't it? I mean, what buttons do you have to push to get the old nature out? What do you have to look at the TV screen to pull the old nature out? It happens. It's in a flash. I go in an elevator, or I don't go in elevators much anymore. What am I talking about? But somewhere I'm confronted with a song that I used to love, but it's ungodly. It's wicked. And I walk out, and what am I doing? The flesh just defile my body. And I'm not only heard the song, but I'm singing the tune. Is that the spirit of me that did that? Is that the new nature that does that? No! It's the flesh that's in me. And that's what he's trying to help us to understand. That flesh is there. But we have freedom from defeat. Let's look at we've got 5 minutes. We'll just go a couple more verses here. He talks about the contrary nature of the flesh and the spirit. And in the terms, in the context he's talking about this, again, it's not the Christians that are living in the flesh versus those that are living in spirit. It's talking about the lost and the saved. Because he makes it clear when you read this. And just like in the first verse, it's clear. And he's talking about, again, the context is those that are in Christ Jesus. So here's a contrary, and this is the flesh and the spirit. In verse 5 he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh. If you have the Spirit of God in you, then our desire is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But this person, for they are after the flesh, their mind is to follow the flesh. Now, there are places where it talks about Christians that don't follow God and those that do. This is not the case. So we want to just be clear and be clear with the text. This is the unsaved man. This is a continuation of verse 4. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh. But here's people who walk after the flesh. This is their nature. This is their desire. After, it means according to. So they're after the flesh or according to the flesh. That's their following. That's their leaning. That flesh is the old sin nature. It says, do mind. That is mentally disposed. If you're not in Christ, your mentality is to follow what you want. You are God of your life, or something else is, but not the God in heaven. A lost person doesn't have a God in heaven because they don't have a relationship with God in heaven. Does that make sense? And that's what he's talking about. And so you can tell, or we can tell, those who want to serve themselves, they walk after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, they're not in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not to say there are Christians who sin. There are. But we're talking about the general nature of a person and what happens when you put your faith and trust in Christ. You have victory, and that victory comes through the Holy Spirit. And it makes the difference in a believer's life. He's describing the lost man who follows his own desires. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That is what the old sin nature are those who do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are lost, that's what they do. They follow the things of the world. They follow the fads. They follow the music. They follow just everything that the world's about. Why? Because they're blinded by the God of this world. And they don't know the things of God. They have no understanding of those things. And today in our society, you know, it's funny. We always worried about the Cold War. Always. You remember that back in the 60s and 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s or whatever. when I was in service. That I was in the time between Vietnam and everything else that was going on in the world. I was in during the Cold War, 6 years in, during the Cold War. The closest thing we ever came to was when we were over in the Med and we ran in some Russians and we did a little funny stuff with them. But it was the Cold War. We were afraid that the communists were going to come and destroy us. What they've done is they've infiltrated us. It was subtle. And it's going on today. And that's where our America is today, is that the world has changed. It's not the same America that the men and women fought for so many years, the guys in World War II. It started changing radically in Vietnam. I'm not saying the Vietnam War is right or wrong. You've got to make your own judgment about that. But America was divided and has been ever since then. Why? Because of Satan. Because of the unregenerated man. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and we'll stop. Just read this real quick. Galatians chapter 5, Paul, he explains what this is. He talks about the works of the flesh. And we'll get to the rest of chapter 5 next week. But I'm just going to look at a couple of verses, 19 and 21. Again, he's talking about, well, we'll begin verse 17, give you the context a little bit. Verse 16. We'll read the whole chapter. No, I'm just kidding. Start at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, talking to Christians. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Just like Paul said in chapter 7, the battle. He says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." We're not in bondage of the law. Why? Because now I have a heart's desire. My heart has changed. No longer do I see the law as a wicked authority or a bearing down authority. No longer do I see that. I see I love Christ and I want to please Him. How do I please Christ? I'm going to go find out. What's your favorite wife's favorite food, men? Let me flip that. Wives, what's your husband's favorite food? Do you ever make, huh? What you say? Okay, do you ever make apple pie? Why? Because you love him. Isn't that amazing? You probably, you really do. You don't go home and say, "I'm never going to make apple pie for you, Greg, because that's what you like." Of course not. And we don't do that to Christ either, do we? We want to do what he wants to do. We want to please him. If he liked apple pie, we'd make him apple pie. I don't think he does, but I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't think it's a problem for him. But the fact is that's what he wants in our life. So here, he talks about this, and let's go on down to verse 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh," this is what he's talking about, the flesh, "are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," that's a passionate lust of sin, "idolatry, witchcraft." That word witchcraft is where we get the word pharmaceutical from. It means medication or magic. Isn't it amazing when people take these drugs, they go into this magical world? Isn't that funny? Isn't that strange? It's kind of like witchcraft. "Hatred, variance, emulation," talking about jealousy, "wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings." We got a lot of revelings going on today. That's rioting. People have a right to riot today. They have a right to come to your house and destroy your house, so they think. It's crazy in America today. I don't know if you heard about the recent couple that brought out their guns because they were breaking into their property. And I don't know who it was, the governor or somebody in that had jurisdiction. They're going, "That's crazy. We're going to persecute them, or you know, the other people are victims." I'm going, what? We getting this backwards, aren't we? Anyway, sorry, don't mean to get into that. And he says, "And such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Why? Because they're lost. They don't have the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that keeps you out of the kingdom of heaven, is not having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's what Paul is comparing this to, this flesh that so many people are following. They have the mind of the flesh. And this person follows their own desire. We're going to stop there. Go ahead and read chapter 8, though. You get a chance this week, so you'll be ahead of the game. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for how we can read it and how real it is. Even today, we can even see it more and more in the way that the things are going on. It's so subtle what's happening in the world. That's the way Satan is. That's how he confused Eve in the garden, with his subtleness. And the God of this world today is subtle. And we don't even see it. Because we're like the frog that's put in the fan and we turn the water up, the heat up. And as it heats up, we don't realize it. And the next thing you know, we're cooked. Help us, Father, to look to you and to trust you. Help us to realize what your plan is for us and follow it. We do love you and we thank you for the Word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love, your grace. And we just pray that you would just bless each one of us tonight as we look to you and trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.